Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Previously in Deathstalker Legacy.
What are we to do about the Durandal?
Don't you just love the idea of the greatest paragon of all time becoming the Empire's greatest villain?
That's where the Esper drug comes in.
That was different. I feel differently about you. I want to know you better.
She's trying to come on to me.
Are you ready to embark on a new mission?
Where am I going this time?
I'm sending you to speak with the elves, to make a deal with them on my behalf.
All right. Why spider hawks?
Tell your master that the elves will work with the Durandal on this occasion. To destroy the Paragons once and for all.
Jess. We can't do this. We can't. Douglas is my friend. Anne, what are you doing here?
How could you?
We're going to be married. We couldn't stop that now, even if we wished. Too many people want it. It's inevitable now.
Darling, you say the most romantic things.
Call me Joy. Someone died here recently.
The church's previous patriarch, the very venerable Roland Wentworth, has resigned. Reasons of ill health. Let us put controls in your head.
No, I don't think so. We'd rather die.
Then die.
Are you sure you want to do this? This is an exclusively Esper city. Humans aren't welcome.
Hopefully the Espers will see me as being sufficiently different from baseline humanity to accept my temporary presence.
Lewis is on his way out. He's going to fall. And he's going to fall fast.
You now have the entire route in advance, along with certain carefully worked out blind spots where you can conceal yourselves and wail. The Paragons won't be expecting a mass Esper onslaught.
Shut up, Lewis. Go into the house. Be with your king. He needs you. Jess, doesn't matter now. Nothing else matters now.
What?
The terror, Lewis. The terror has finally arrived.
Graphic Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Legacy. Narrated by Richard Rowan.
With performances by Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Sonny Lasky, Dylan Lynch, Jeff Baker, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Tim Carlin, Karen Carbone, and Mort Shelby. Graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Richard Rowan. Episode 5, Terror in the Night. It was all quiet when Lewis Deathstalker finally got there. Almost deathly quiet. The place was packed. Everyone there in person or in hollow, watching the great view screen floating above the open floor of the house. All of them utterly transfixed by the terrible images on the screen. Lewis moved over to stand beside Douglas, sitting forward on the edge of his throne. The king seemed somehow smaller, shrunken by the magnitude of the events unfolding before him. He didn't even look around to acknowledge Lewis's arrival. Everyone was silent, stunned. MPs, clones, espers, aliens, Shub. The unthinkable had finally happened. 2 centuries after the Blessed Owen had given them his dire warning through Captain Silence and commanded the Empire to prepare, the terror had finally come for them all. Lewis used his comm implant to access the house's official records and brought himself up to date on what had happened while he was away, all the time watching the awful scenes on the view screen along with everyone else. Watching while planets burned on the edge of the Empire. It started, as so many bad things did, out on the Rim. Out on the far boundary of the Empire, where civilization ends and the endless night begins, lay a small group of unimportant planets that 2 centuries before had been a part of the legendary and infamous Dark Void. Swallowed up by the dreadful Dark Void device, the populations of those worlds had become monsters, the Recreated. They were rescued and restored to their humanity by the Blessed Owen, given life and sanity and peace of heart again. For 200 years. Until the Terror came.
Poor bastards. You just couldn't get a break, could you?
The Terror came out of the dark, unknown spaces beyond the Rim of Empire, from the vast and unknowable outer reaches. There was no warning, no premonition, just the Terror coming out of nowhere to fall on the undefended planets like a wolf upon the fold. Out of the billions of innocent souls who once lived on those 7 worlds, only one man now survived. Donald Corcoran, heading for the safety of the inner systems as fast as his small ship, the Jeremiah, could carry him. What he saw drove him out of his mind, so that he screamed and wept and shuddered uncontrollably as he contacted the authorities to try and tell them what he'd seen and what had happened on the day the Terror finally reached the Empire. He just happened to be leaving orbit after a fairly successful trading run to the planet Iona when the Terror arrived. He ran, accelerating with everything his ship's engines could give him, until he was fast enough and far enough away from the planet's gravity well to drop into the safety of hyperspace. No one blamed him. Running was the only sane thing to do. While his ship was still building up speed, Corcoran dropped all his sensor drones behind him to record what was happening. Some of the drones were still transmitting now, through the Jeremiah's computers, showing what the Terror had done to 7 helpless planets and their populations. The drones were dying one by one, their information streams cutting in and out. Apparently, just their continued proximity to the Terror was enough to distort and mutate their systems. Those that weren't dying were becoming something else, and no one knew what. The Jeremiah hadn't escaped unscathed either. Systems were breaking down all over the ship, scarred by the gaze of the Medusa. And Donald Corcoran, once a simple trader, was now a wild-eyed crazy man, prophesying doom. He kept breaking into the drone's transmissions to scream and shout and weep over what he'd seen. Just one look at the Terror had been enough to unhinge his thoughts and fracture his reason. Tragically, he was still just sane enough to know how much he'd lost. You couldn't look into the Devil's eyes and hope to come away unmarked. The nearest fleet star cruiser had been sent to intercept his path and pick him up, but the Rim was a long way off, even for the new H-class star drives. No one patrolled the Rim anymore. There was no need. Nothing ever happened out there, so far from the heart of civilization. And there hadn't been a threat from beyond the Rim since the Blessed Owen's day. No one ever really thought the Terror would come in their lifetime. One by one, the sensor drones were shutting down, overwhelmed by the awful energies radiating from the 7 burning worlds out on the Rim. It didn't matter. There was no point in going there. No one left to rescue. And the Terror wasn't there anymore. It had moved on, heading on a slow, straight line, right for the densely populated planets at the heart of the Empire. Lewis called up the house's records of the events leading up to the Terror. Recorded images filled his eyes, channeled down his optic nerves, a combination of the planet's news channel, security systems, and individual recordings. A short history of the coming of the end. Lewis felt angry and sick and helpless, and his lips pressed so tightly together they were entirely white. It started simply enough. Something came out of the darkness beyond the Rim. Out of the empty spaces, traveling at just under light speed. It caught everyone by surprise, because no one was looking for it. Why should they? It shot past the 7 populated worlds without slowing, before they even knew it was there, and plunged into their sun. And that should have been the end of it. It should have been destroyed, annihilated in a moment in the hottest fires of all, Instead, it made itself at home in the heart of the sun, basking in the unimaginable heat, and incubated there. Growing, becoming, it absorbed the sun's energies, eating it up, gathering fuel for its mission. And when it was ready, it hatched. And a swarm of hateful black creatures that might have been alive, or might have been machines, or something entirely other, came flying out of the sun's flames and descended on the seven populated planets like so many horrid angels. Or devils. There were millions of them, each of them subtly different, intricate, malevolent shapes like hell's snowflakes, with hundreds of eyes and even more sharp-cutting edges. They formed thick living rings around the targeted planets, endless numbers of them, fighting and jostling for position at barely sublight speed. On the surface of the planets below, machines malfunctioned, computers were thrown offline, and AI spoke gibberish. Planetary defenses failed to operate. The swarm descended, screaming in anticipation as they plunged into the planet's atmosphere, and everyone who heard that scream went insane. Men and women and children howled with unbearable mental agony and destroyed everything around them. They tore down their homes and set fire to their cities. And then they turned on each other, killing friends and strangers and family with equal ferocity. Not because they wanted to, but because they were driven to it. By the never-ending scream of the swarm that flew above them, circling and circling the planet, like vultures waiting for something to die. On seven worlds, seven entire populations went insane and slaughtered each other in the ruins of their burning cities. There was no defense against the maddening howl of the swarm. Blood flowed. Millions, and then billions, lay dead and dying. And then, finally, the terror appeared. Space opened, torn apart by unnatural forces, and from a place where nothing comes from came something the size of a world. It was alive and aware and utterly hideous, but mere human technology was incapable of capturing and recording all that it was. It existed in more than three spatial dimensions, its details fading in and out, as though reality itself wasn't strong enough to encompass all of it, to hold all of the terror at once. There was something that might have been eyes, dark and awful, vaster than oceans and more deep, and a great mouth that opened and opened till it seemed the terror might swallow the burning planets whole. Instead, the terror fed on the madness and the suffering and the destruction, on the hell its children had made for it. The people fell and lay still, all that they were and might have been, consumed in a moment. The terror. In the end, there was nothing left but seven burning worlds, orbiting a shrunken sun. The swarm died then, dropping from the skies into the flames like angels whose wings had been torn from their backs, like devils going home because their work had been done. The terror didn't need them anymore. Its eyes and mouth were gone, if they had ever really been there. Space ripped apart again, and the terror returned to wherever it had come from. Only one dark shape remained, the single ugly progenitor that had come from beyond the rim, from the dark spaces, to dive into the sun and begin it all. The terror's unstoppable herald, heading relentlessly on into the Empire, towards the next set of populated worlds, and eventually on a line that would bring it right to the heart of humanity, to the homeworld itself, Logris. At sublight speed, it would take centuries to get there, but it was coming. The terror was coming. There were no more records. Lewis watched the worlds burning on the great view screen before him, seven planets where nothing lived anymore, and his mind reeled. So many dead. So many lost to agony and despair. He felt like screaming, like laughing and crying at the same time. He wanted to run away and hide and let someone else deal with it, because it was just too much for him. But he didn't. Because he was a Death Stalker. Because he was the champion. Because people depended on him, just as they had once depended on his ancestor, the Blessed Owen. Lewis clamped down hard on his teetering thoughts and made himself concentrate on the things he could handle. He still had questions, things he needed to know. Through his comm implant, he plunged back into the house's records, forcing open old classified files with his champion's authority. Ransacking long-sealed and secret bureaus he would never have even dared approach before, but found little there of any real use. The Blessed Owen had never said anything about what the terror actually was, only that it was coming, and that the whole of humanity had to prepare itself to fight the terror when it arrived. That humanity might have to evolve, even transcend itself through the madness maze, just to survive the terror's coming. Of course, no one knew what the Blessed Owen's actual original words had been. He'd vanished when the Dark Void was broken and the Lost Planets returned, the recreated saved and restored. His words came via his old ally, Captain John Silence, also long gone, and no one knew where or why. King Douglas made a sharp gesture, and the viewscreen disappeared. The house stirred, as though the honorable members were slowly waking from a nightmare. Only to find it was all horribly real. They looked shocked, stunned, beaten down. Small men and women, entirely unprepared to face the greatest threat there had ever been to humanity's existence. They looked at each other, but no one had anything to say, so they looked to their king. Douglas sat straight-backed on his throne and looked steadily back at them.
First of all, get a grip on yourselves. There's no indication the Terra can break light speed, which means it's still a long way out. It'll take weeks just to get to the next set of populated worlds. We can evacuate them or fortify them as we decide. We have time to think and plan, to do our duty and our jobs. The Terra is unsettling, but we are not without resources, and we will not be taken by surprise.
Send the fleet! Wait for that thing to reappear, and then blow it away!
We can't risk sending the Imperial fleet to intercept the Terra. We can't send any ships. In fact, I think we should recall all ships in the area for now as a precaution. Once a ship approaches the Terra or its creatures, the crews on those ships will just fall under its influence. Do you really want Imperial Star Cruisers with hyperdrive and disruptor cannon running wild in the main systems? Crewed by homicidal maniacs? No. We send drones steered by remote control. That goes for you too, Shub. AIs are just as vulnerable as human minds. Does the House have any more practical suggestions?
The House quickly descended into bedlam. Douglas leaned back in his throne and let them get on with it. Let them get it out of their system. It soon became clear that no one had anything useful to offer, and they were just shouting at each other, taking their fear and anger and helplessness out on old rivals and enemies. The various alien species were just as distressed and just as conflicted over what they should or could do. The terror had come and found everyone wanting.
This is what the Deathstalker warned us of. Come now, in our lifetime after all. We should have listened. We never really believed, and now it's here, and we're not ready.
King Douglas sank further back in his throne. He didn't feel ready either. He'd only just been made king. He was still learning how to do his job, damn it. He shouldn't have to deal with something as important as this, as vital as this, so early in his reign. He didn't know what to do. It wasn't fair. Briefly, he cursed the Blessed Owen and all his fellow maze people for not being around when they were needed. Douglas could feel the shake starting in his hands again and gripped the arms of his throne tightly. It wasn't fair, but then, little in life ever was. Being a paragon taught you that. But now he was the king and the speaker, and it was his job to lead, if necessary, by example. He turned to the champion at his side and beckoned for him to lean closer. Lewis did so, and Douglas told him what he wanted him to do. Lewis grinned. Judging from how quickly the alarm was turned off, it would seem Anne was still watching. A few MPs were on their knees, hiding. Lewis smiled coldly upon them all, his gun covering the whole house impartially. Douglas nodded, satisfied.